Our discussion now, democracy and political expression online, mobilizing the power of online communities and interests to produce or halt political change. We've seen groups empowered by their internet connections confront traditional authority in China, in the Middle East, in Russia, and now yesterday to confront the U.S. Congress. Recapping the story we've been following this week, Wikipedia and thousands of other websites shut down yesterday in a coordinated protest over two anti-piracy bills being considered in Congress. Opponents of the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect IP Act, Intellectual Property Act, also known as SOPA and PIPA, say the bills amount to censorship. Supporters of the bills say it's all about jobs in the U.S. entertainment industry suffering from the economic consequences of piracy of film, video, and music. The message of the opponents seemed to be the loudest yesterday. Republican Senators Marco Rubio of Florida, John Cornyn of Texas, and Roy Blunt of Missouri all withdrew their support of the PIPA bill. Emma Leonzo is a policy counsel at the Center for Democracy and Technology in Washington, D.C. She joins us via Skype, another form of political expression. Good morning, Emma.
Good morning.
And you're in Washington, D.C. this morning, right?
Yes, I am.
All right. So, let's recap. We've got the protests yesterday that changed the minds of some senators. We'll see what happens to these bills in Congress. But we've also got the actions of politically active groups like Anonymous, WikiLeaks, who use information to make political statements of one kind or another. We've got the situation in the Arab Spring, where social networking sites were confronting governments in the Middle East. We've got governments themselves using the internet to shut down political expression. Where does the internet stand as a forum for political messages from governments, from corporations, and from the people themselves this morning?
Well, what's important to remember is that the internet really serves as a platform for all kinds of speech. All of the different actions that you've just been listing, they are different groups, different organizations using this interconnected network of networks, this fantastic communications medium that we have as a way to get their message across. The internet is one of the most accessible forms of mass communication that we've ever had. Unlike newspapers, where you need to have a printing press and a whole distribution network set up, with the internet, all an individual needs is an internet connection. And then if they can find a site where they can post their opinions, their views, they have a microphone or a megaphone that they can use to get their message out to the world.
Although Emma Leonzo, who's a lawyer who focuses on policy issues, including free speech, is part of the Center for Democracy and Technology in Washington, D.C., let's look at this a little more closely. I mean, you're describing the situation of, say, Wael Ghanim, who is the internet activist and Google employee who created a Facebook page that was so influential in confronting the Egyptian government. But yesterday, even though this was a debate over online piracy and regulation of the internet, keeping it free and open, that's what the whole piracy bill debate is about. You know, it wasn't necessarily a level playing field yesterday. The big players, Wikipedia, speak in much louder voices than, say, little anti-piracy John Hockenberry if I'd posted a message somewhere. There are not all the same actors in this debate here when you're talking about big websites shutting themselves down.
Well, big websites versus individual users, sure, there's definitely a different playing field there. But we have to look at these website lockouts in the context of the larger debate over online piracy and the SOPA and Protect IP bills in particular. What you saw yesterday was the internet industry finally speaking up and trying to gain as much attention as the content industry, the MPAA, the RIAA, the other big copyright interests who have been hammering away at congresspeople for a long time about the need to do something more to protect intellectual property online.
All
so
right.
Those big industry groups have had a very the ear of congresspeople, and this was the internet industry sort of trying to do their part to get as much attention from legislators and from users about just how important these bills are.
And it seems like they did pretty well. You're talking about leveling the playing field between the lobbyists of Disney and Time Warner and News Corp. Versus the internet industry, which perhaps hasn't had the influence in Washington, but after yesterday may see an increasing influence. But I guess I'm talking about an even larger debate, and that is, are there limits of responsibility in shutting down the internet? Say, for example, what if somebody was needed to, what if Google shut down for some political reason? And somebody needed to search Google for some medically important fact that bore directly upon the safety of a family member. Is there a common carrier issue here in that there are public trust issues of shutting down the internet may have a negative impact on citizens, and that should be controlled in some way?
Well, it's important to remember when you're talking about shutting down the internet, what part of the internet are you talking about shutting down? When we've seen concerns over governments shutting down the internet in other countries, what we're talking about is cutting off internet access, using the interrupting broadband service or wireless service or satellite service so that no one can get onto the network to use any of the applications or services that are there. Now, talking about Google shutting down the internet, while many of us use Google as one of our primary portals to the internet, it is, in fact, just another service online. It has competitors in search. It has competitors in email providers. It has competitors in social networks. As long as users have an internet connection, they should be able to, if Google isn't offering services or if Facebook isn't offering services for whatever reason, find a different service.
If they can find those alternatives in time, under a minute. The frustration with Occupy Wall Street reaching the attention of voters, it seems to me the lesson from what happened this week is that more and more political expression will be taking place in this forum. Would you agree with that, Emma Alonzo?
I'm sure that, yes, the internet is going to be an increasingly vital platform for political expression. And I think the internet services, that many of the sites that we saw going dark yesterday, are going to be very careful about just how often they use that tactic as a way to get across their particular opinions on a political issue.
Because they can inflict pain. They can inflict pain as well as create an environment for the exchange of information. It's a very interesting new development. Emma Alonzo is a lawyer for the Center for Democracy and Technology in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.